same pastor in that same illustration said something that was especially a blessing to me. He said, every time I throw the towel in, meaning he was ready to quit, the Holy Ghost throws it back. And so I'm reminded that we're not in this by ourselves, and we're not in this for ourselves. And the Holy Spirit wants you and I to achieve and to have victory more than we do. And he will assist us if we will allow him to. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to start today on a three sermon series. And no, we have not forgotten 1 Timothy. We're dealing with the special topics that are here. We will certainly get back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe. Thanksgiving. I have told you and begged you and asked you, and many of you have done it. You have downloaded an app on your phone, the Webster 1828 app. Why do I encourage you to do that? Because this was before, if you will, the liberal slant of our day, and words were defined as what they truly were. And they were not defined in a way to try to manipulate and the such. You just simply could go to 1828 definition, it'll come to me, dictionary, and you could open it up and it would tell you without political swaying one way or the other what the word meant. And so in that app, Thanksgiving is defined this way: rendering thanks for good received. Thanksgiving, the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. We should do this. You and I should be a people of thanksgiving. We should absolutely be grateful and thankful. And I talked about this in first service. Those two words are kissing cousins to the word humble. You're not going to thank the Lord. You're not going to thank other people. You're not going to be grateful to God and other people if you're not humble. And it's so important that we do those three things. But today, what we want to make sure, and if you will, because we're going to get to this whole just idea of out-and-out Thanksgiving throughout the day, that's going to be the practical application next Sunday morning. But I want to build, if you will, the doctrinal, biblical support of this. You see, I 100% agree and think that we should be thankful and grateful for our physical possessions. We should be grateful and thankful that everyone in here is clothed today. What a spectacle it would have been if someone showed up without it. And the type thing. Because we've built some social norms. Praise the Lord. But watch this. I mean, folks, to be clothed means you've been blessed. Most, if not all of you, have been able to come from a place of shelter that has controlled climate. Oh my goodness, we can't take that for granted. We live like kings and queens compared to some folks in third world countries and the such. I love, even though I know some people use it as a slap, but I love the saying when something comes up, you know, my phone's not working right. You know, someone will say, that's a first world problem. It is. It's a first world problem. And so we ought to, anytime that comes up, praise the Lord, we live in a first world. We are so blessed and the such. All that said, that is not the biblical impetus and foundation of Thanksgiving. It's down the line. And it's certainly expected. And God wants us to be thankful for the possessions that he has blessed us with, the possessions that we're stewards over and the such. And but the first folks that celebrated Thanksgiving were not thanking God mostly and certainly only for their physical possessions. They were thanking God for God and what he had provided for them in the way of being able to worship him in freedom. You know, church, I'm not here to beat anybody up. And it's so important that we not miss this. It's okay. It's okay for Americans to desire to have a home that's theirs, quote unquote. that they own. That's wonderful. And if the Lord has blessed you with that, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. But it is not the American dream. About 50 years ago, the devil, in my opinion, and our world allowed that to become stated. In fact, you can hear it said on, if you're a loan company, if you want the American dream, you come to us, we'll get you your American dream. A home and a car and a fine career, whatever the case may be, couldn't anything be further from the truth. The American dream was to worship God in freedom. That was and still should be the American dream. And the absolute biblical basis for thanksgiving is that also. God and others. And we're going to see that here in Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 23, I believe. Would you stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? And remember, context is king. So this passage is preceded with 1 through 14. And in that, I encouraged the first service, and I'm encouraging you to sometime today, take 2 minutes to 5 minutes, it doesn't take very long, to read Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 14, because the start of verse 15 is wherefore. Well, anytime you see the words wherefore or therefore, that means you should always go back and see what it's there for. Because he's basing what he's fixing to say on everything else that's already been said. So I'm going to give you the nutshell. In Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 14, God, through the Apostle Paul, is telling you who you are in Christ. You are chosen. You have been adopted. You are holy. You are highly favored by God. That's who you are. And then in verse 12, 13, and 14, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. People always wonder, how come you Baptists are so hung up on eternal security? Because God is hung up on eternal security. The Bible is hung up on eternal security. I did not do anything to procure this salvation, therefore I cannot do anything to lose it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. If I have to keep up with my salvation, whoo, I'm in trouble. Now, look at verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard your faith, who's the church at Ephesus? Paul is telling them, when I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. So that's the reverse. Remember, the message of the Bible is God and others. Well, Paul is saying, I'm thrilled to hear that you love God and you love others. Look at verse 16. Paul ceases not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What is he praying? Look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I need to tell you this. The title of this message is The Reason for Our Thanksgiving. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, that's where we're going to camp, 15 through 19, but let's finish the chapter. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Change us to look more like you. Help us, Father, to understand our reason to be thankful. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. We could, and this is well established, we could make excellent arguments as to why we should not be positive in our world today. We could talk about inflation. We could talk about the political, you know, venue. Fill in the blank. We're only a few months removed from riots and horrible living conditions in Minneapolis and fill in the blank. And those places are still powder kegs, the wrong trial verdict, and things could go wrong again, so on and so forth. So I feel safe in saying that most adults here are aware of all that. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. He didn't say the political climate of my nation is my strength. He didn't say the lost condition of my nation is my strength. He said the joy of the Lord is my strength. The reason for Thanksgiving is found here in 15 through 19. And point number one is that love was bestowed. The reason you and I can absolutely be thankful and grateful from a humble heart today is because we're loved by someone. We are loved by someone, and not just anybody, but Jesus Himself, the creator of this planet, loves you. Remember, when you go back later today and you read 1 through 14, you're going to see how loved. Remember what it takes for an adoption to happen. They give you the once-over and they still choose you. Jesus saw you in your glory, meaning He saw you at your worst. And He said, I love them. I love them. I don't have freedom to go real deep. But if you want a picture, a living, real-life human picture of that, get to know a family that has adopted some children that are less than lovely. When you go deep into the adoption reality, you learn very quick most adoptive families want a baby. And it's understandable. It really is. There's nothing wrong with that. But we've got a lot more kids that need to be adopted than just babies. And I have gotten to see firsthand my nephew and his wife, Brian and Aaron, adopt a family group of five out of genetically, DNA-wise, 17. But these five were closest related from like 15 years old to a year, year and a half back when they were adopted. And church, I'm going to tell you, it's a struggle. It is a struggle. The issues and things that the older ones, especially as a result of their original family, that they're, I mean, it's a daily, minute by minute, struggle. But God is working. And those kids will never have to wonder, does someone, anyone love me? Because they'll always be able to say, Brian and Aaron Kingston do. Because they put up with me. With all of my struggles, with all of my baggage, with all of my weight, they love me. And that's what Jesus has done for you and me. He saw us at our worst, and He said, I'll take them. I'll take them. I won't just take them. I'll do what I got to do on the cross to get them. I'll lay it all on the line. Now, is that not a reason for thankfulness? That's a reason for gratitude. I mean, that makes me want to cook a turkey right now. But it doesn't just stop there. We're not just loved by Jesus. We're loved by everybody that loves Jesus. Paul was telling them at Ephesus, I am praying for you. I love you. Talk about the worst of the worst. Murderer. Paul was. And then he got blinded by the love of Jesus. And he changed his life, turned 180, and served the Lord with everything he had from that point forward type thing. And he's telling those folks at Ephesus, those Diana-worshipping Ephesians, those prostitute, adulterating Ephesians, those idol-worshipping Ephesians, that they had all gotten, well, the people that he's writing to, had gotten saved. And he's telling them, care about all that. And church, can't we all sit here and, if we were allowed to and we're not, we could, well, yeah, boy, I've sinned with the best of them. That's never glorifying to God. And when you and I, when we get humbled by our sin and how evil we were, if you will, before Christ, B.C., before Christ, and Ephesians, boy, they were evil. And Jesus came through Paul, and they accepted Jesus Christ. And Paul's telling them, not only does Jesus love you, but the spiritual lineage from Christ, we love you too. How many of you can say that you got where you are at with Christ all by myself? None of you. All of you, to some level, have had somebody pray for you. You've had somebody help you, Sunday school teacher, Awana leader, I mean, whatever the case may be. And if you got here by happenstance, you might say, well, I don't know, Brother Ben. My family don't serve the Lord, and I don't know anybody that served the Lord. I think I did come to this all by myself. We pray every Sunday morning that we would be witnesses to the people within our sphere of influence. That means somebody else loves you. Watch this. And even if you did get here and none of us know you, I guarantee you when we get to heaven, God will reveal to us all of the believers that have prayed for you, that have loved you. But many of us, I'm looking at Carol Ray Tottisman, I know Grandma Hoff prayed for that woman. Woo-wee! Prayed and prayed and prayed. And I'm messing with her. Amen. Thank the Lord. And we've got stalwarts of the faith in here, and you are praying for people. Church, we should be thankful for that. I need you to pray for me. You need me to pray for you. And I do. And I know you do too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. We should be grateful for that. So point number one, the reason for our thanksgiving is that someone has bestowed love upon us. Let's look at those verses just for a moment. Wherefore, I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and then he goes to point number two, may give. The reason for our faith is that the gift was prayed for. The gift was prayed for. And if you've got a Barry in your life, if you've got someone in your life and you're trying, man, Lord, what can I pray for? This is one of the things that you pray for. What Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, and I believe he ultimately prayed, if you will, for all of us. And I know that people, John Smith has prayed that I would see God clearly and that I would understand what his will for my life is. And I could not be more grateful and thankful. And the list of names is beyond my ability to name them. Many of you have done the same. But this is the gift that was prayed for. Look at 17b. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Oh, my goodness. If our burdens and issues and struggles were materialized, they probably would not fit in this building. Can I get a witness? You brought loads in. And it may or may not be baggage of your own, but it is baggage that you've borrowed from other people because you're concerned about them. And you've put it on your back and you're asking and begging God to help them. Watch this. Exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to ask him to show himself to you, and he'll do it. In first service, I called it the spot. You have a spot? Now, here's the funny thing about Ben Kingston. Before I was 16 years old, I'd lived in 11 different homes because my dad was a pastor too. And every 2 years, God called him to another church. It wasn't because he was a bad preacher. It wasn't because people got mad and upset at him. It was because he had the most calming effect on congregations that had struggles. And they, whether they fired their former pastor or they didn't like each other, whatever the case may be, God would bring Dwayne Harvey Kingston in and couldn't get mad at Dwayne because he never did anything to get mad at him about. He was just calm. Smooth. And it wasn't something he was trying to do. He wasn't trying to be a charmer. He just, what you saw was what you got. And that always put people off of the, you know, the offense. And it brought their defenses down. And I saw God, even though I didn't ever enjoy it. I always remember that one meal at Jonesboro, the one place we stayed for 5 years. Around the two-year mark, all of us were at the table, including Tony. He was still at the house. And Dad said, boys, I need to talk to you. And Barry said, I knew it. We're moving. And Dad said, calm down. We're not moving. I can't remember now what was going on. But I remember that because that was my, oh, I just got one person to like me after 2 years, you know. Come on, Dad, help me out. He was that calming effect. And so I have lived in a bunch of houses. In the most recent one I live in, I have got me a spot. It's the first house we've had an island or a counter in the middle of the kitchen. And on the left side of that counter is one of the chairs, and that's my go-to. And when I'm struggling, I can see it in my mind's eye. I can't tell you how many times I've done it. I hop up on that stool. I set my phone down because this is where my notes are. I go to my notes, and I go to the issues that I have put in my notes that I need help with. And me and the Lord, we just talk. I'll usually have the Word of God out too. I'll have the Proverbs of the chapter of the day that coincides, and we'll just work through it. It's my spot. What am I doing? I'm asking God to reveal to me what I need to know so that I can handle this situation. Watch this. He wants you to know the answer more than you want to know the answer. And church, we should be grateful for that. We should be thankful that with all of our load, with all of our issues, God has an answer. God has an answer, and He wants to show you that answer. Listen to it again. That He may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. For every struggle in life, God has wisdom and revelation of Himself that will answer that particular issue. You don't need more of this world's wisdom. You need more of God. I mean, that's all it is. You and I need to pour in to this Word, and when we do, He'll pour into you. And when He pours Himself into you, it's going to start coming natural. Now, what you're not hearing me say is it's going to be easy to do. No, not necessarily, because the old flesh is going to fight you every step of the way. The world's confirmation is going to fight you every step of the way. The devil is going to fight you every step of the way. But greater is He that is in me that is in the world. And Jesus said, don't you fear the world. I have conquered the world. And His answer to our flesh is crucifixion. You die to self, and you let the revealed Word of God do in you what you should do. We should be thankful because the gift was prayed for. Now look at verse 18a. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I call it the aha moment. And church, I know you're doing this, but as we increase and as we continue to have these aha moments, as a result of exposing ourselves to the Word of God, God is going to light your fire with what He wants you to do. And you're going to have the answer to many of the struggles that you're struggling with. Point number three, what was asked for? So very simply, we've got the love that was bestowed by someone, Jesus first, another second, the gift that was prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be exposed to us, basically for God to reveal Himself to you. And then point number three, what was asked for? Look at 18b. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Now, there are three things that was asked for by Paul for these people. Three specific things. 18b, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And this is simply, what we're supposed to do. I know. Brother Ben, I've heard this before. You hit on it all the time. Well, shouldn't I hit on what is the most important thing that you and I do for the Lord almost every Sunday? Matthew 28, 18 and following. Paul is asking God to help the Ephesians to expose themselves to God so that he can reveal himself to them, and as a result, that they would know what they're supposed to do. Church, we're supposed to win Franklin County to Christ. We're supposed to win our friends, neighbors, and relatives to Christ. We are to be an example to our sphere of influence. We are not only supposed to win them to Christ, we're supposed to disciple them also. And then we are to be holy vessels. I have three prayers that I pray for myself right now, that I would be holy, healthy, and hungry. Now, you might think, well, wait a minute, Brother Ben, you're diabetic. No, it's the wrong hungry. It's the wrong hungry. Because y'all know I don't have to pray for that. Okay, that just happens. I'm praying that as a result of being holy in my heart and mind and body, that I would be healthy. Because you see, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants me to be healthy more than I want to be healthy. And as a result, I will be hungry for him. I will desire him. What does the Beatitudes say? Blessed are the thirsty and hungry for righteousness. Blessed are those who thirst and hunger after righteousness. I'm praying that for myself. I'm praying that I would absolutely desire the holiness of God. God's going to answer that prayer. He's going to answer that prayer. Y'all know my desire to listen to sports talk radio. As I'm praying this prayer, that desire gets less and less and less. I'm not saying it's wrong to listen to sports talk radio. I'm saying it's wrong to not desire the righteousness of God more than the things of this world. And so he's working with me in that area. I have found that I can be holy and still know what the score of the Arkansas game yesterday was. I just don't let it absolutely, disrupt my day if it's not the score I'm looking for. Yesterday, y'all need to know, it was the score I was looking for. Just in case Arkansas beat LSU, you need to celebrate with me. It's Christmas. Yeah. Come on. I know y'all are Missouri fans. You don't got much to cheer for. I'm kidding. You beat South Carolina yesterday, one of the better SEC teams. Is Jerry in here? Okay, yeah, because Jerry will get after me. You got your Mizzou shirt on? What shirt you got on? So, we better move on. All right, what we're to do. This is what was asked for, what we are to do. Now, one more thing I want to say before I leave that, church. I have lovingly been challenging you to come up with some transition statements. When you find yourself in front of someone and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to talk to them about me on some level. I want you to extend the olive branch, if you will. If you will come up with some transitional statements, mine being, I'm a pastor of a church. I wouldn't be a very good pastor if I didn't ask you if you have a home church. I wouldn't be a very good pastor if I didn't ask you if you have a relationship with the Lord. Whatever the case may be. And you can do that too. And you can make me the heavy. Boy, you don't know my pastor. He'd be really upset with me if I don't ask you if you have a home church. Whatever the case may be. But you can come up with a transitional statement. Church, ever since I've been lovingly pushing that, God, without fail, put somebody in front of me every week. You gonna do it? You gonna do it? Loud mouth. Put up or shut up. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily talk that way, but that's how I take it. You know what I'm saying? And God consistently puts people in front of me that he wants me to practice what I preach. I have to believe he's doing the same with you. It's what we're supposed to do. We should be grateful and thankful, church, that we have a transcendent cause that transcends everything else we're involved in. Helping men, women, boys, and girls get to heaven transcends maple syrup. It transcends deer hunting. And I'm picking on my stuff. It transcends on all the things I enjoy, quote unquote, spending my time with. But none of those things equal somebody being able to say, I'm in eternity because of the influence of Bethel Baptist Church. I'm in eternity because of the influence of Pastor Kingston, whatever the case may be. Now, you and I know they're in heaven because of Jesus Christ. But God uses you and I to point them to him. What is being done? B, look at 18c. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God is building you a mansion that makes the houses that you and I live in right now look paltry. That means little. He has a mansion that you are going to live in that far exceeds what Bill Gates has. It is. And Paul wants you to know that. Watch this, church. We ought to be grateful for that. We got a home in heaven. It's not a cabin on a hill. It's an absolute mansion in heaven. And I love what Darren Slater said years ago. God took 6 days to create this planet. And we see how amazing and beautiful it is. He's been working on heaven for 2,000 years. You're going to be awestruck. And where you're going to live, it's going to take you a while to get through it. It's going to be impressive. We ought to be grateful for that. And then look at 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Who is doing it? So what was asked for? That you and I would know what we're to do, that we would know what is being done behind the scenes while we're doing what we're doing here. And then lastly, who's doing it? Jesus, through his finished work on the cross, how much power does it take to resurrect somebody from the dead? More power than you and I can ever explain. But that same power lives in us. That same power is available to us. That same power is there for the asking to do what God has called us to do. And he's working behind the scenes. The understanding that we were so loved that Christ first made provision for us, and those that God has in our spiritual lineage have prayed for us that we would know what we are to do, what is being done for us, and in our inheritance, who is doing it. Why is there really anything better and greater to be thankful for? So no, we should absolutely be grateful and thankful for the possessions, but it should always come secondary to the truth of the eternal fact that God loves you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. That should absolutely rule our day. I drove 7 hours one way to get a little bitty bunch of trouble called a puppy. Yeah, that's what they are. They're a bunch of trouble. Praise God for them, Gavin Hook says. May their tribe increase and their diseases. Oh, I'm kidding. Watch this. Do you know what the Holy Spirit said when I got there and got my puppy that I was so excited to get? I wonder if the owner of the dogs knows me. I just brought you 7 hours with the disguise of a puppy to ask this guy, does he know me? True story. And I said, sir, I wouldn't be a very good pastor if I didn't ask you if you have a home church. He looked at me and said, yeah, Grace Baptist Church, just right over the hill. And when he says hill, it's a mountain in Tennessee. We don't have any of those here. Because within the width of this building, it's about 350,000 feet tall. And they squirrel hunt on that thing. I told him, I said, if I lived here, I'd be owning me a mule. Because I ain't walking that. But here's my point. And then afterwards, I thought, well, Lord, I kind of thought maybe that was going to turn into something. Watch this. Who knows what God's doing? Maybe he needs to ask more people that same question. Am I the only person type thing that when someone is in my sphere of influence and they're knocking it out of the park more than I am, the Lord uses it to convict me? look what that child's doing. Help me out. And I'm like, yes, Lord, yes. And so, church, I know that he wants to use this. I know that he wants us to be grateful. Yes, it is appropriate to be thankful for blessings and possessions. It is more fitting to be grateful for a fulfilled life living for a transcendent cause. Will you all stand? Musicians, will you come? The reason for our thanksgiving. Love was bestowed by someone, Jesus first and others second. The gift was prayed for. What was the gift? The gift was that you and I would be exposed to the revelation of Christ, that we would know what we are to do, that we would know what is being done, and we would know who is doing it. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to come forward and receive Christ as Savior. We'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. You can turn this into an old-fashioned altar. We got a few announcements after this because I know you're looking at your clock and say, well, we're getting out early. Eh, no chance. I'm messing with you. Let's have a few verses of invitation, and then we'll talk a few things.